The Pat Kenny Show
on News Talk with Mastercard.
Now, have you ever come across an old ruin in your local area? A building that has fallen from its former glory to become a crumbling mess. And yet, despite the current condition of them, do they still have a certain beauty to them? Well, to talk about the architectural value of these buildings and his latest book, The Irish Aesthete, Ruins of Ireland, is author Robert O'Byrne. Robert, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Good to see you.
You have a blog.
The Irish Aesthete, which I started... and well done, you got the pronunciation right. A lot of people have trouble with the word aesthete. I started it 6.5 years ago now, just as a, you know, without realising what it would be. It's one of those things that you give birth to a child without realising what the child will become. It's a bit like that that's happened. In fact, I call it now the hungry child, because you constantly have to feed the blog. Yeah.
Is this where this book really was born?
It is, yeah, because it started, you know, for 40 years or possibly even more, travelling around the countryside. I've been exploring buildings and Ireland's architectural heritage. And then a few years ago, as I say, I decided to actually do something with this interest and try to share it with people. And that's how the blog came about. And then it translated into Twitter, into Facebook, into Instagram, you know, across all the social media platforms that are available to us now.
And how did you come across many of these ruins? I mean, I would not take you for a rambler in the countryside.
I don't tend to look terribly rambly, it's true. But nevertheless, I can be quite good at battling my way through the undergrowth when necessary. I mean, the reality is, in the book, I actually cite a German who came to Ireland in the 19th century who comments on the sheer number of ruins from every epoch, every age that we have here in Ireland. And he says that Ireland has more ruins than any other country he's ever visited. And I think that's true. It's hard to miss ruins in Ireland. They're everywhere. Yeah. Even on our streets, after all, it's hard to miss them walking around as we are in central Dublin. There are ruined buildings.
Now, in the United States, you have maybe a gold rush town and then it becomes abandoned. And we have the images of tumbleweed rolling down
exactly.
the main street
and the
Dust Bowl and all of that, where towns and villages had to be abandoned because of the weather, the climate, or the departure
of
an industry.
The economy moved on and the town was left behind.
Now, we like to portray the number of ruins, particularly the majestic ones, the larger ones, as being the result of IRA activity in the early 20th century.
Yeah,
you
not
say
true.
Not so.
No, not true. I mean, you know, a lot of work has been done, particularly in Maynooth, by people like Professor Terence Dooley, on actually analysing how many buildings were destroyed in the 20s. So we're coming up to that anniversary. So a lot of people, including myself, are doing work in this area. The reality is that only about 300 or so between the War of Independence and Civil War, and about 300 big houses were burnt. Far larger numbers of them were simply abandoned or demolished during the 30s, 40s, 50s, and into the 60s.
And was that because of death duties, taxes, or the departure of the gentleman farmer back to town, which is they used to call London,
indeed,
rather than Dublin?
Yeah,
we go to
exactly.
town.
You always go up to town, even if you're sort of north,
south, east, and west.
Regardless, you always go up to town for some reason. It was to do with all of those factors. The reality, though, as well, was that the greater part of land in Ireland was taken over by the Land Commission and earlier bodies such as that, and then distributed amongst small farmers. So
no one had enough land to support a big
house. So the reality was that the house itself was simply incapable of being maintained from the income that derived from the land. You only might have a couple of hundred acres, and a very big house needed a much larger income. So as a result of that, a lot of people just abandoned them. Then, of course, there were rates levied on domestic buildings while they had a roof on them. So a way to avoid that was simply to take the roof off. Then you didn't have to pay the rates on the building.
I remember years ago in Greece, I mean, when the colonels were still in charge, they used to have these steel reinforcing rods sticking up out of the roof of every building. And it was again to do with taxes, that unless the building was finished, you didn't pay the property tax. So all the buildings were left unfinished.
Semi-finished.
So they didn't have to pay the tax. Yeah. So people deliberately took the roofs off houses.
In huge numbers. And similarly, the Land Commission itself very often would take over an estate, parcel out the land to deserving farmers so that everybody had their own acreage, and then be left with this house in the middle of it. And the Land Commission would often sell the land on which the house stood with the proviso that the house had to be demolished. that had actually wanted the house cleared away. So that meant a lot of them were not.
And I presume that people use the house for salvage as well, taking bits and pieces out of it.
They did. And if you go through newspapers from the 40s and 50s, you find enormous numbers of auctions taking place where floorboards, doors, mantelpieces, all these sort of things are all being offered for sale. So the whole place would be stripped of anything salvageable. And then the house would be knocked. Quite often the stones from the house would be ground up and used for roads.
I remember the house that the late Tony Ryan had in Tipperary, Kilboy.
Yeah, indeed.
And when he got that house, the basement was completely covered over.
It was.
Because of the window tax.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's an earlier tax. The window tax was much earlier.
But it's extraordinary that people filled in windows
so they didn't, because glass, you know, glass was evidence. If you could afford good glass, it was evidence that you had an income and therefore you could pay tax. So fill in the windows, block the window up, and obviously you didn't have to pay as much tax.
Extraordinary. Yeah. Now, the ruins that you have shown in your book and the photographs are terrific. Taken with what kind of sophisticated Nikon or Leica?
I wish it was something smart. It was actually just my phone. The reality is that when you're sort of clambering around the countryside, the easiest thing to carry with you in your pocket is a phone.
But the quality is extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. I can't claim credit for that. I think that, to my mind, the secret of being a good photographer, and of course professionals will hate me for saying this, is a steady hand. Because basically if you hold it up straight and steady and then press the button, you'll get a reasonable photograph. And I did, after a couple of years, go to the trouble and expense of buying myself a very fancy camera. I used it about twice, and it was just too much trouble.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Just whip out the phone. And if you are not quite level, you see, you can digitally tweak these.
Then I take them home, download them onto my PC, and you can do a couple of tweaking just to straighten things up a fraction and so forth. Yeah, so you can make adjustments.
Now, the kind of ruins you have, you've got everything from just what looks like some bricks upon bricks or stone upon stone, but there's precious little left. And then you have other houses that look as if, with a bit of TLC, could be brought back.
Yeah, and some of them very easily could. On the other hand, there's at least three houses that I have in my book that I've photographed over the last few years, which have now fallen into even worse repair. One of them, arsonists broke in and basically gutted it by fire. And two others, because they've been neglected further since, sections of them have fallen down. So houses are like people. If you don't look after them, they'll start to develop illnesses.
Do you have any good news stories in the book?
Yeah,
houses that maybe are making a recovery?
There are. There's one, for example, down in County Cork, which when I photographed it looked beyond redemption. Completely overgrown. The floors had fallen. The roof had actually taken off back in the 40s or 50s, as I recall. And it was bought a couple of years ago by a couple. They have completely stripped out all the overgrowth. You can see the house.
The picture, yeah. Drumdeer
in County Cork. Completely overgrown. You would imagine beyond redemption. And in fact, they're working now to restore that and bring it back to be a family home once more.
Drumore Castle, right on the next page. I mean, that looks magnificent.
It's
so what
vast.
State is it in?
It's probably really beyond. The trouble with that was it was built in the 1860s. And even when it was built, it didn't work. It always was running with damp inside. It is a very romantic castle outside Limerick City that people will know. You can't miss Drumore, but it was always fanciful, and so it was understandably abandoned. It was occupied for less than a century before it was eventually abandoned.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Castle Irvine in County Fermanagh.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate because the county council bought Castle Irvine and they built a very expensive equestrian centre in the grounds and then couldn't sustain it. And then they left the house, unfortunately, to fall into ruin. I see you're at Newhall, which is one of the most extraordinary houses. Newhall in County Clare, which is outside Ennis, just goes on and on and on, as you can see. Rooms lead into rooms. It is owned. It is just about salvageable. But it needs a lot of money spent on it. And unfortunately, that's one of the issues, obviously, with a lot of these properties, is they need money. And although there are...
A bottomless pit often, a bit like buying a chateau in France.
In France.
It's very
exactly.
cheap to buy, but
unfortunately, hellishly expensive to restore afterwards. I should say there are grants available. There are grants available. The local authority offers grants. Organisations that I'm involved with, like the Irish Journalist Society, offer grants. So there is support available, but it would nevertheless need quite a lot of money on the part of the owners to bring them back.
Looking at Sea House in County Cavan, which looks in good nick.
Well, I'm looking deceptive? At that. That's, look at that photograph. That's damp all over that wall on the left-hand side. Oh. And the ceiling. You can see
look completely
at the
blackened.
Ceiling is completely blackened
but
by
it's
damp.
There.
But it's still standing. But again, unless, you know, the simple things like opening shutters and opening windows every day, unless you do things like that, in our country, the damp is so pervasive, it just eats into a building unless you let light and air circulate constantly.
Well, it's an absolutely brilliant book. I mean, it's sad in so many ways, but it's also evocative of another era and a little bit of hope in there as well. What should be done with the crumbling ruins? Do we let them crumble?
You can actually make sure that they survive. At a certain point, and in certain places, obviously, there are examples like Duckett's Grove in County Carlow, which is an immense sort of fake castle. The county council owned that. They managed the property very well. It's a shell, but it's a well-preserved shell, and it's a huge draw for local people and for tourists as well.
So even the ruin is a draw.
It is. Ruins can be very popular draws.
Well, it's a terrific book. The Irish Aesthete is its author in the person of Robert O'Byrne, but its main title is Ruins of Ireland. It's available in all good bookshops now, and it's priced at around, what, 20 euro?
It's about 20 euro.
About 20 euro.
Yeah.
Robert O'Byrne, pleasure having you in the studio. Again, thank you very much for joining us.